live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Donegal Domestic Violence Service is facing serious pressure over the rising costs of rental accommodation. A cross-border initiative involving the Irish government and partners in Donegal may be the key to establishing a medical school in Derry, according to a local councillor. Residents in Donegal, Castlefin have set up a committee with a view towards liaising with Glenmore Estates over plans for a new anaerobic digester in the area, which is due to be operational before Christmas. And the Northwest School Secretary's branch of the Union Force has organised a protest in Letterkenny this weekend. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, British MPs will vote again next week on whether to have a snap general election. It's been another dramatic Brexit day with Boris Johnson's brother resigning from government. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
As the dust settles on a dramatic few days in Parliament, we're starting to get a sense of where things will go from here. This afternoon, Boris Johnson's brother Joe resigned from government, citing a clash between family loyalty and the public interest. Tory MP Rishi Sunak feels that some of the criticism of the move is unfair.
Every MP is going to make their own decision. It was a decision that would have been personally difficult for him. Of course that is the case, but it's not a decision that he made with any malice.
Now Boris Johnson's preparing a second tilt at a snap general election for Monday. Meanwhile in Brussels, the EU's chief negotiator Michel Barnier has been meeting EU27 diplomats, but he didn't inspire confidence that any progress has been made.
The Union, the Parliament, the Member States are calm, united and vigilant.
Do you think you've made progress today?
I don't want to comment.
While here at home, Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue seemingly played down the chances of an Irish general election before Christmas, even if Brexit gets delayed.
But as we're looking at uncertainty developing there, as we're looking at risk growing there, it's very important that the stable political environment that we have here in Ireland be maintained. It will be maintained.
And all the while, the legislation aimed at preventing a no-deal Brexit is continuing to trundle through the British Parliament. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The rising costs of rental accommodation is putting serious pressure on the Donegal Domestic Violence Service as funds used for home heating and food is being redirected to cover rental costs. Manager of Donegal Domestic Violence Service, Dr. Marie Hainsworth, says the HAP scheme is not keeping up with the rising costs of rent and therefore those looking for help cannot afford to go into the private rental market. She says the lack of suitable housing options means people are not leaving the service's emergency accommodation as quickly as they might.
What's happened is a lot of our clients now are struggling to get into that housing market. They're having to stay with us longer. There's no social housing. We're an approved social housing body, but we're only eligible to offer accommodation on a short-term basis. So we're not an option for long-term accommodation if they can't move on. Ideally, if there was social housing available, that would be the route that they'd go down for a lot of them. It's not an option for many of them. And what they're told then is that they have to access the private rental market. But it's not really the role of the private rental market to support social housing. It's a very different set up and they can choose which clients they want to go in. So they obviously are going to look for those that can pay more and they're going to look to maximise their own profits.
A cross-border initiative involving the Irish government and partners in Donegal may be the key to establishing a medical school in Derry, according to a local councillor. It's after serious doubts were cast on plans for a facility at Ulster University's McGee campus after it emerged the money is not available to get the project up and running. In a letter to Derry City and Strabane District Council, the head of the civil service pointed out the university would not be putting up the money itself, comparing it to a proposed initiative at Springvale in West Belfast some years ago, which failed to materialise. Independent councillor Paul Gallagher says alternative plans need to be drawn up.
They have a sterling letter saying we can't spend money we don't have. He's saying if there is any money around, then those decisions would have to be made by a minister. That doesn't look like there'll be any minister in place for the foreseeable future. So it looks very much in doubt. I would like to see all providers engaged in this process. And looking to say, what is the best? Have a plan A, have a plan B, have a plan C. But at the minute, everything seems to be riding on the University of Ulster, and I'm afraid that wouldn't give me any confidence.
From the point of view of the Derry University Group, it's calling for alternative partners and calling on the council and others to look at alternative, perhaps, ways of providing a facility such as this. Do you believe that's potentially a runner?
I believe that's a very potential runner. I think we could be looking at
partners not only in Derry but on a cross-border basis in Donegal, and this could be a joint initiative between Derry Council, the Irish government, institutions in Donegal and Derry, as well as all other providers.
There are calls on meat processors to remove legal threats and enable meaningful beef talks to proceed. It's thought that issues such as the 30 months age limit, the four movement rule and the 70-day residency requirement must be up for negotiation if farmers are to accept that meat processors are serious about addressing their concerns. Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson and Donegal Deputy Charlie McCondoke says the crisis can only be tackled when these core issues are up for debate. Otherwise, he says, any further talks are effectively futile.
All of these are particular bugbears and difficulties for farmers, and are anti-competitive as well in terms of their impact, and were avoided in terms of being properly dealt with as part of the last talks process. And it's essential that the meat processors now withdraw their legal proceedings, get back into talks, and also give a clear indication that they're willing to actually deal with those issues.
From what you're saying, really, the beef crisis, there will be no end in sight, really, unless these issues are put on the table and possibly resolved.
Absolutely. It's essential that there is a genuine outcome that actually addresses many of the issues. Obviously, the overarching issue is price, and we need to see a situation where the losses that farmers actually have experienced, that there is movement from the factories to actually recognise the situation, the unsustainable situation with regard to price. Also, the Minister for Agriculture needs to actually ensure that there is income and additional funds sought from the European Commission to address losses experienced over recent months. But key to resolving the issue as well is addressing many of these uncompetitive practices. And it's essential that the meat factories actually indicate that they are going to deal in these and they are going to address these, and that farmers actually concerns which have contributed to bringing them to the protest lines across the country are going to be addressed as part of the talks process.
Meanwhile, despite the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee and the Beef Plan movement calling for retailers to be included in talks, according to the Agriculture Minister, they will not be attending. Michael Creed announced this morning that another round of negotiations would take place on Monday. He says only the groups involved in last month's talks will be present.
We did agree at the last talks that there would be engagement with the group and retailers. And that obviously is a commitment that would stand if we can close out the other outstanding issues, but they're not in the room for these talks.
Residents in Donnyloop, Castlefin have set up a committee with a view towards liaising with Glenmore Estates over plans for a new anaerobic digester in the area, which is due to be operational before Christmas. It follows major issues in Inishowen recently, where residents in Burt were unable to leave their homes over a foul odour emanating from a nearby plant there. However, the company has stated that the operation in Donnyloop will not be taking in solid matter, with the process itself being carried out in a sealed system. Local councillor Gary Doherty says the new committee will be monitoring the plans closely.
Oversee the works that are going on at the plant and to make sure that all the terms of the planning permission, which were granted back in 2008 for this digester, that all those terms of the planning permission are adhered to, and that any environmental impacts on the wider community are conveyed to the company, and that the company take whatever measures they can to mitigate against those effects. So whether that be whether the community is concerned about a smell or traffic impacts or any harmful impacts on the local environment, that those concerns are immediately raised with the company and that there are measures put in place to stop any harmful impacts.
We know that the digester is aiming to be up and running before Christmas. I suppose from the community's perspective, it is kind of a very much wait-and-see approach now.
Well, the community has taken an active approach to it. The committee was formed last week, which will be meeting on a regular basis and who will be overseeing the works. The community are going to be keeping a very close eye on this. And that's, I suppose, the main takeaway from the meeting last week. That, look, I suppose it was good to hear that the company are willing to listen to the community and work with the community. And it's now, it is a wait and see to see, look, will they be taking action when these concerns are raised? But that's what I, as a local representative, and what the committee that we're formed to represent the local community, that's what we're here for now, to oversee this project and to make sure that all the concerns of the community are listened to.
A 57-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of the murder of a Derry man 12 years ago. 53-year-old Michael Gerald Thompson disappeared in December 2007. His body was found the following January on the shore of Loch Ney in County Antrim. In 2012, the police ombudsman ruled the PSNI had failed to properly investigate his disappearance and death. 10 police officers were later disciplined. The 57-year-old arrested earlier today has since been released, pending a report to the PPS. A protest calling for all school secretaries to be employed directly by the Department of Education is to be held outside the Education Minister's office in Letterkenny this weekend. Trade Union Forsa balloted its members for industrial action over the summer after Education Department officials refused to discuss proposals to overcome a two-tier pay system. That result is due to be announced on Monday. The rally in Letterkenny, organised by the Northwest School Secretaries branch of the union, is getting underway at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon outside Minister Joe McHugh's office at Old Town Road. Local spokesperson Kathleen O'Doherty says the current situation is totally unjust and their demands are not a lot to ask for.
So slowing things down, and we've got to a stage where we have to do something. We're looking for support, obviously. We want fair pay and respect. That's all we're looking for, nothing extra. We are hoping for a good turnout. We've had great response from around the country, from the teachers' unions, from different groups that will be supporting us. So hopefully that this, hopefully the rain will stay off for a start, and that will get somewhere that it'll highlight exactly how unfair the situation is.
Because the situation as it stands is that the vast majority of yourselves don't enjoy the same benefits as the 10% who are directly employed by the department.
That's correct. Well, what it actually is, there's over 3,000, approximately 3,500 secretaries in the country. About 10% of them are actually employed directly by the Department of Education with public service status. The rest of us are actually on a grant scheme that a grant is paid to the school and depends on how much the school can actually afford to pay. Now, with that, obviously, there are no conditions such as sick leave, maternity leave, or any other conditions, pension for the grant-paid secretaries. It's unjust. It's impractical. All we're calling for is on the Department of Education and Skills just to implement measures to treat all school secretaries in fairness and respect. We should be provided with the basic entitlements and protections, like equivalent to clerical staff on any public service pay scale.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time to latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy feels tonight's game against Switzerland will be crucial in their bid to qualify for Euro 2020. Ireland sit at the summit of Group D on 10 points, 6 ahead of this evening's opponents. McCarthy knows a win tonight would boost the chances of a side reaching the finals.
Without me looking at the points table and seeing what they can win and what we can all get, we can do ourselves a favour. We can put ourselves in a really strong position. Well, we can certainly dent their hopes if we beat them, but somebody will be asking their manager the same question. He'd probably be saying the same about us.
Kick-off tonight's at 7:45. Forward Callum Robinson is expected to shake off a thigh injury to start. Elsewhere, Corey Evans insists Northern Ireland won't be taking tonight's friendly with Luxembourg at Windsor Park lightly. The Blackburn midfielder will captain what's likely to be an experimental side ahead of a crucial Euro 2020 qualifier with Germany on Monday. And Wales winger Gareth Bale says he doesn't take any notice of outside criticism. In the summer, as Real Madrid manager Zinedine Zidane said he had no future at the club, but he's played his way back into the starting lineup. Bale will captain the side for tomorrow's Euro 2020 qualifier at home to Azerbaijan. In other news, Huddersfield have been fined £50,000 after admitting breaking the Football Association's kit and advertising rules. They were widely criticised for a sash-style shirt displaying a bookmaker's logo worn in a pre-season friendly. Both the bookies and the Championship club later admitted the stunt before a new sponsor-free kit was released for the current campaign. And Sheffield Wednesday striker Fernando Forestieri will serve a 6-game ban after losing an appeal against an FA charge of using racist language. The FA's Independent Regulatory Commission found him guilty of abusing Mansfield's Christian Pearce in a pre-season friendly last July. Back locally in the Donegal Youth League, the Gorey Curran Cup quarter-finals. One of those take place this evening. It's Lagan Harps up against KG Rovers. It starts at 6:30. Should it be a draw, it'll go straight to penalties. And the North West Women's Super League continues this evening. And there's three games down for decision. The champions Bonagie United, they host Lagan Harps at 7:30. While there's two games down for 7 o'clock, at least they play Fannett and Swilly. They're up against Greencastle. In rugby, Ireland assistant coach Andy Farrell says they want to give Joe Smith and Rory Best the perfect send-off this Saturday. Soon to retire Ulster hooker Best captains the side in their final Rugby World Cup warm-up match. That's against Wales. The match against the Grand Slam winners is also Smith's last game in charge at the Aviva Stadium. Farrell, who will succeed Smith after the World Cup, says they wanted to travel to Japan on a high.
We're after a performance that we're proud of. There's an extra reason for that, with it being Rory's last game at the Aviva and Joel's as well, obviously. The important thing is we've put the performance in, the cohesive performance, and the right mental attitude to take forward into 2 weeks' time, the start of the World Cup against Scotland.
Johnny Sexton, Keith Ayres and Robbie Henshaw, they'll all get a chance to prove their fitness ahead of the tournament after being named to start this weekend. Cian Healy has recovered from an ankle injury to start, but Joey Carberry's not part of the match day 23. In boxing, Katie Taylor looks set for a busy 2020. Promoter Eddie Hearn says the undisputed lightweight women's champion is set to fight the winner of next week's bout between Amanda Serrano and Heather Hardy. A rematch with former world champion Delphine Pearson is also on the horizon, and Hearn says the brave fighter's considering a move up to super lightweight in the near future. Taylor's next bout will be on November the 2nd, with London's York Hall a likely venue. At the European Youth Championships in Bulgarian boxing, Rafo's five-time national champion and European junior bronze medalist Leah Gallan, she's fighting for Ireland. She's getting underway at around 5:30 this evening. It's a last 16 bout. She's up against Germany's Anne-Marie Shirley. Moving on to horse racing, and double Irish Field champion Dylan Brown McMonagall will be making the step up to apprentice jockey in the coming weeks. With 150 wins on the national circuit in the last 2 years, Dylan is joining trainer Joseph O'Brien in Kilkenny, who works with the likes of Barry Geraghty and Donoghue O'Brien, just to name two. The Donegal jockey has dominated in Dingle in recent years, notching up nearly 30 wins in Kerry, an event which is regarded as the Cheltenham of horse and pony racing in Ireland. Dylan is excited about the move.
What every young rider's been dreaming of, like for a trainer to ask you, would you like to be an apprentice to them? And I've just been privileged, couldn't have went any better. Joseph came to me a few months ago and asked me would I come down and sign on to him, and just really excited now. It's a privilege to be going down to him, and massive trainer with loads of horses in. So Aidan O'Brien's son, of course, one of the biggest Irish trainers in the world. And he's loads of horses in, and he's a very smart man.
In tennis, it's a women's semi-final day at the US Open. Last year's beaten finalist, Serena Williams, she'll face fifth seed Elena Svitolina. And Bianca Andreescu and Belinda Bencic, they meet in the other last four clash. In golf, Robert McIntyre, Max Rotliff and Ben Stowe are the joint clubhouse leaders on the opening day of the Porsche European Open. The trio have opened with four under par rounds of 68 in Hamburg. Patrick Harrington finished with one under par round of 71. Gavin Moynihan still on the course. He's three over through 15. Cormac Sharvin finished on one over, and Michael Hoy finished on two over. Finally, for this evening in cricket, Ireland have missed out on a place in the ICC Women's T20 World Cup. Laura Delaney's side were bowled out for just 85 and suffering a 4-wicket defeat to Bangladesh in their qualifying match. Bangladesh will face either Thailand or Papua New Guinea in the qualifiers for a final for a place at next year's tournament in Australia. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the Criminal Assets Bureau has made a number of seizures across Meath, Cavan and Monaghan in an operation targeting a gang involved in ATM thefts. A vehicle with a 162 registration was among the items recovered after searches were conducted at 10 locations across the three counties. The Bureau also recovered a laptop and illicit cigarettes, along with financial documents and paperwork relating to the ownership of assets. CAB says the operation marks a significant development in the investigation into recent ATM thefts. Latest figures from the housing agency show that householders in Donegal are benefiting from the government's mortgage-to-rent scheme. According to the central bank, over 1,100 family home loans in the county are in arrears for 2 years or more, while 13 mortgage-to-rent cases are being actively progressed. The scheme aims to keep homeowners and with unsustainable debt in their current properties debt-free as long-term tenants of their local authority. Paul Cunningham, CEO of Home for Life, says lenders and funds are now showing a greater willingness to use the mortgage to rent scheme as an alternative to repossessing family homes.
The unsustainable debt numbers are not coming down, so solutions have to be found. This is one of the solutions that the government is putting forward, and it's great that households in Donegal are engaging and progressing through the mortgage to rent scheme. That'll keep their families in their current home, in their current community, paying an affordable rent.
Weather now, dry this evening, dry at first tonight also, but cloud will soon increase and rain and drizzle will spread. Lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees and fresh to strong and gusty southwest winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the rising cost of rental accommodation is putting serious pressure on the Donegal Domestic Violence Service as funds used for home heating and food is being redirected to cover rental costs. Manager of the service, Dr. Marie Hainsworth, says the HAP scheme is not keeping up with the rising costs of rent and therefore those looking for help cannot afford to go into the private rental market. A cross-border initiative involving the Irish government and partners in Donegal may be the key to establishing a medical school in Derry, according to a local councillor. It's after serious doubts were cast on plans for a facility at Ulster University's McGee campus after it emerged the money is not available to get the project up and running. Residents in Donegal, Castlefin have set up a committee with a view towards liaising with Glenmore Estates over plans for a new anaerobic digester in the area, which is due to be operational before Christmas. It follows major issues in Inishowen recently where residents in Burt were unable to leave their homes over a foul odour emanating from a nearby plant there. And a 57-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of the murder of a Derry man 12 years ago. 53-year-old Michael Gerard Thompson disappeared in December 2007. His body was found the following January on the shore of Loch Ness in County Antrim. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of September. The funeral of John O'Kane, recently deceased in Auckland, New Zealand, and formerly of St. Columb's, Buncrana, will take place on Saturday in St. Mary's Oratory, Buncrana. Funeral mass at 12 noon will be followed by interment of his ashes in the family grave at Cock Hill. The death has taken place of Anna Kelly, née Duffy, Columbkill Court, Derry, and formerly of Newton Kennedy Street, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her sister Betty Patton's home at 145 Belldoux, Strabane. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The sudden death has occurred of Eamon Maguire, 40, Kilmore Road, Drumquin. Eamon's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Simon McCrossan, 18, Holly Lane, Derry, and formerly of Carlton Drive, Strabane. Funeral leaving his sister Sheila McCrossan's home at 7 Minashesk Place, Strabane, tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Anna Curley, 16, Abbots Wood, Cardona, formerly of Lower Town, Mallon. Fiona will leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St. Columbus Church, Drum, Quigley's Point, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Mary Elizabeth Doherty, Eilish, née Kavanagh, St. Patrick's Road, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Buncrana, with viewing from 6 to 8 p.m. this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 to St. Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery.